Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Amen, amen. Hey, if you have your Bibles, I'd like to invite you to turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 10. If you have your Bibles, would you turn there as we continue in our series, journeying through the Gospel of Luke. And I tell you, just kind of a little programming note, I've got two directions that I want to go in the next 3 or 4 weeks. So next week we may take a break from Luke and kind of do a series that kind of help us reset, a series that reminds us of our vision and some of the things that we're working towards as a church. I don't know, not yet. I got two paths nice and paved out that I've explored, and this week is going to be my week when I decide how the Lord wants us to proceed. So we may be, next week we may take a small break, but then we'll come back to it. We'll come back to it, and then that'll get us into Christmas, and then once we get into Advent and Christmas, then we'll change some gears there as well. But Luke chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading at verse 38. And if you can stand for the reading of God's Word, I would invite you to. I know we just sat down, but as I look across the congregation, you guys all look young and spry and look good. And so I don't think you have a problem, but if you can't stand, that's okay. Hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? We are indeed thankful. Let's pray. Father, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So last week we saw that the entirety of the law is summed up very simply. The entirety of all the Old Testament law and even anything extra that somebody would want to put on top of that. But the entirety of the law is summed up in very simply this short phrase of love God and love others. We discovered that last week. The young lawyer, he came to Jesus wanting to know how to receive eternal life. And Jesus asked the young lawyer his interpretation of the law on that matter. They both agreed that it came down to loving God and loving others. But then the lawyer then asked a follow-up question. He says, "I get the neighbor thing, but who is my neighbor?" And so in telling this parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus was essentially saying that there's no need for follow-up questions here. When it comes to loving God and loving others, there is no need for any sort of follow-up question. Love your neighbor. No questions needed. Just go and do it. Just go and do it. Parents, are you with me on this? When you give instructions to the offspring about a job and you get all these questions, like, no, just go and do it. Don't ask how much of the room needs to be clean. Just the room needs clean. Go and do. No qualifying questions, right? I guess all your kids are awesome. I guess mine's the only one that asks qualifying questions when it comes to tasks given to them. But go and do. You see, last week, the lawyer, he had trouble with hearing the word from Jesus. He had trouble hearing what it meant when the law said to go and love neighbor. So this week, we have another example of someone having difficulty in hearing the call of the gospel. If last week was about going and doing likewise in terms of how we love our neighbor, then this week I think that we can see that this week we're going to understand what it means to go and do when it comes to loving God with our whole heart. See, last week, the gospel writer gave us this example of what it looks like to live on part of the, to live on this part of the law, what it looks like to live out, love your neighbor. And so this week, I don't believe it's any accident that the gospel writer, Luke, kind of puts these two narratives side by side. He puts love your neighbor with the young lawyer and the parable of the Good Samaritan, and now he's going to put this story of Mary and Martha in the home, and I think it's going to demonstrate to us, what does it mean for us as the church, what does it mean for us as believers to love God with our whole heart, to love him with all of our heart, with all our soul, with all of our strength. So as we see in the text, Jesus continues to be on the move. He comes to the home of Martha, who is there with her sister Mary. And it's interesting, we only find this scene in Luke. However, John, the gospel writer John, does join him in knowing Martha and Mary. However, the gospel writer John knows them as sisters of Lazarus. While the perspective of the two gospel writers is different, the behavior of Martha and Mary are similar in both gospel accounts. Martha goes out to meet Jesus while Mary is at the house. And at dinner, Martha serves and Mary is at the feet of Jesus. In the gospel of John, Mary is anointing the feet of Jesus. But here we see Mary just simply at the feet of Jesus. And so here in Luke, we see that this dialogue here at Martha's house, it takes place with just Jesus and Martha. Mary is in the scene, but we don't get any dialogue from her, and we don't get any action from her other than just she is there at the feet of Jesus. And so he comes to the home, and apparently and obviously they've made some sort of preparation. They've heard that Jesus is on the move, and this invitation is given for Jesus to join them in their home, which is very interesting. It's very interesting that a Jewish male would receive and accept an invitation from the home of a woman and go there and even teach in that home. Like, it's very interesting that we find Mary at the feet of Jesus. You see, because to be at someone's feet, if someone is teaching, to be at someone's feet in this culture means that they are the disciple. They're the ones that this teacher is preparing to go and to do whatever work that he's been a part of. And a rabbi would have never taught a woman one-on-one like that at all. And honestly, not for any other reason other than just the women were second-class citizens. And so it's like, well, you don't need to be taught anything about rabbinic stuff. And so you see Jesus, as always, turning the world upside down. In a culture that says, you can't take a woman's word, Jesus says, hey, guess what? Yes, you can. I'm going to teach. I'm going to teach this woman who's here. I'm actually going to have women who are part of my entourage. We understand that there were 12 apostles, but then there's also these disciples, these followers, the 72. And we know that there had been women a part of that group as well. And so we see Jesus turns the world upside down as he makes women a vital part of his ministry there. And this is what Jesus does, right? He turns the world upside down. So Mary and Martha, they're in the midst of hosting Jesus. And again, Scripture doesn't give much detail as far as who's there, but we know that Jesus traveled in the entourage, so we can use our sanctified imagination to assume that, the apostles there, maybe some of the larger disciples are there. We know that Martha opened up the house, but we don't know how that plan came to be. If you read this, I kind of like to read into the personalities of both Martha and Mary. Mary probably is a little more, kind of going with the flow, and probably is the one who kind of has really cool ideas, but when it comes to follow through, probably doesn't pay a whole lot of attention to any follow through. And perhaps Mary said, Martha, Jesus is coming this way. We should invite him into our house. It'll just be a great thing. It'll be awesome, Martha. Let's just do this. And of course, Martha being A-type, Martha being, Martha, I'm sure she was happy to do it, because if it was in her house, then she gets to be in control of everything. She gets to be in charge. yeah, Mary, let's have him come over to our house. Let's have him come in, and this will be a great thing. I'm not sure if that conversation went down or not, but it's okay. It's okay to read in between the lines and try to use our imagination as to how this would all come together. So we have two ladies, two different reactions to the presence of Jesus, and one truth in what it means to pursue the presence of the Lord in our lives. So look at verse 40. Look at what Martha says. Martha's busy. She's getting all her stuff together. She says, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations they had to make. She came to him, to Jesus, and asked, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. You see, it's interesting. We have to remember that Luke has placed this story in the context of stories which are demonstrating the importance of hearing and responding to the gospel. The young expert of the law was challenged to hear the gospel on what it means to love neighbor. Now Martha and Mary are faced with a decision to hear the gospel on what it means to love the Lord God with our whole heart. Now I want to give Martha some credit, because if you've grown up in the church, you've heard this story, and we pick on Martha a lot. Oh, don't be like Martha. Don't be a Martha. You know, she gets a bad rap, but I want to give her the benefit of the doubt. I mean, hosting Jesus is an important thing. I mean, you can understand why she would want everything to be right. She knows that the whole village perhaps is going to come and be a part of this get-together. It's an opportunity for Jesus to teach about the kingdom, and she wants to do everything that she can to make sure that there is no distraction on people hearing about this kingdom that Jesus has been speaking about. So she is just busy all about making sure that there's enough food and making sure everything's clean. And so let's just give her a break. She really could sincerely be making sure that there are no distractions in people hearing what Jesus has to say. So Jesus is teaching, and it's almost like maybe Martha's in the kitchen. Well, Scripture says that she comes to him, but perhaps she's in the what would be the kitchen. She's just a busy kind of getting things going, and she yells out, Jesus. She comes, Jesus, there's so much going on here. Will you please tell Mary to come help me? Kind of reminds me of who has the honor, who has the privilege to host the family Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner at your house, right? I mean, you know, that can get a little stressful, right? And I can imagine that if you're the one who hosts that, you're in the kitchen and you're getting things ready and you're, you know, trying to get the last, make sure the macaroni and cheese has the right type of crust on it, you know, because that's very important, right? That's very important. You know how you know official macaroni and cheese, right? If it has a little crust on it, all right? And guess what? Chick-fil-A's macaroni and cheese has a crust on it. See? Praise the Lord. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right? We don't, none of this stovetop crock pot stuff, okay? It's got to have a layer of crust on it, all right? So you know what it's like to be in the kitchen and perhaps you're almost done and you just need someone to help you get silverware or someone help you to get ice in the glasses, and you yell out, hey, can somebody come and put ice in the glasses? Can someone come and can they put the silverware out and then we can begin to eat? Perhaps that's what Martha's saying. We're almost close, but Mary, if you'll just come and put ice in the glasses, we can get on with this very important meeting that we have here with Jesus. Jesus answers, verses 41 and 42. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about so many things, but only a few things are needed, or indeed only one, and Mary has chosen what is better. So Jesus speaks up and sees that she is worried about so many things. He reminds her, however, that while she may be doing some important tasks, there's only one thing that is needed. Now, I find this dialogue very interesting because some commentators would actually go on to say that there is a literal, that Martha is literally, there's this literal conversation about food, that Martha is so concerned about getting all these dishes, all these options available, and Jesus is literally saying, Martha, it's fine. We got bread. There's nothing else that's needed. It's fine. We've got the macaroni with the crust on it. We don't need anything else. If you have macaroni, I don't need your stuffing. All right, if we're going to eat carbs, just bring out macaroni and cheese. Don't need stuffing or anything else. Most important thing, like stuffing? I like stuffing too. That's good. That's good stuff. Especially with some gravy on it.
Yeah,
absolutely. So Jesus, he says, only one thing is needed. But in typical gospel fashion, there are two parallels here. There is obviously a physical parallel here, but there's also a spiritual parallel that I want us to see that I think Jesus, or I know that Jesus is trying to get us to see. You see, Jesus takes something literal and he also provides a spiritual application. They are gathered around the table. A table with physical food, which is providing for the physical nourishment. In the same way that Jesus cautions Martha to not be worried about any more food because they have enough, he quickly flips it to a spiritual reality that only one thing is needed, and that is what Mary has chosen. The best and only thing necessary is the presence of the Lord. The only true nourishment for life is the presence of the Lord in our lives. The presence of the Spirit of the Lord has always been our most life-giving thing that we can have. And this goes all the way back to the creation story. The fact that all we need is the presence of the Lord in our life goes all the way back to this creation narrative in which we see that as God forms Adam, as God forms humanity from the dust, from the dirt of the earth, Genesis 2:7 says, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust and from the ground and breathed into his nostrils. Hold on to that word, nostrils. Breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living thing. Breathed into his nostrils. The Hebrew word here for nostrils is this Hebrew word nephesh. Nephesh. Which literally means soul, but also the ancient Hebrews would have also used this word to refer to, on the body, this region right here. They would have referred to the neck region as this nephesh. Because it means soul. So everything that you need, everything that your soul needs to thrive and to live, passes through the nephesh. The breath of God was breathed into the nephesh of the man. And so you think about it from a physical sense. Everything that you require to live as a human being has to pass through this region of your body. Water, oxygen. I guess oxygen is probably should be first, right? Oxygen, water, and macaroni and food. Right? Everything that you need, this has to pass through this nephesh, this area of your body. And so we see from the very beginning, we as humans, we are created to be in the presence of the Lord. We are created to live and to survive off the breath of the Spirit, the breath of God. That's what happens there in Genesis. The ruach of God, the breath of God is breathed into the nephesh of this man, and he comes to life. And you see, Jesus, he explains to Martha that Mary has chosen what is better. Mary understands that while all this stuff of preparation is good and while it's all important, Mary has understood that the one thing that is needed and vital to her life is the presence of Jesus. And she knows the only way that she is going to experience the presence of Jesus is to be at the feet of Jesus. To take in this ruach of God, to take in this breath, this life of God. Because, folks, that is the only thing that is needed for us. Everything else is extra. What your soul longs for, that emptiness within your soul, what it longs for is the presence and the Spirit of God to dwell in it. So Jesus, he explains that this is the most important thing. In fact, it reminds me of when Jesus is tempted early on in the Gospels. And the enemy, Satan, he comes to him and says, "Hey, man, you're hungry? Man, take these stones and turn them into bread. I know you're hungry." And what does Jesus say? Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. That was a direct quote from Deuteronomy 8:3. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So, church, one thing is needed, and that's His presence. Church, we can get so caught up in doing this and being a part of this and doing all these extra things, but if we are not centered around the presence of the Lord, then it's all just a bunch of frivolous stuff. We were in a calendar meeting this past week, and my appeal to them was, y'all, as we plan out the church year, I want to be way more missional than I am busy. Busy for the sake of just being busy is not going to help us to accomplish a thing. All it's going to do is wear us out. Amen. You see, we can't hear the gospel and put it into practice without His presence. If the call of the gospel is to go and do, we'll never be able to do that without first being at the feet of Jesus. In the midst of things that are indeed important, there is nothing more important than the Word of God. So, church, as we begin to wrap this up, I want to make it clear just how important it is that we are in the presence of God. You see, there's nothing wrong with preparation. There's nothing wrong with... I don't want to make this sound like that you're not supposed to be busy or that you're not supposed to be doing things for the Lord. I mean, we understand that the call of the gospel is to be active and to participate in what God is doing to redeem the world around us and for us to be a part of that. But if we're not first focused on His presence, then I don't believe we're going to see any fruit from any of our labors. Amen. Without our first priority being His presence in our lives. So let me ask you this. In what ways are you at the feet of Jesus? In what ways are you at the feet of Jesus? There's a lot going on, y'all. There's a lot of people in this church that their life has changed from one chapter to another. You know, kids have graduated high school, kids have gone to college, kids have started kindergarten, kids have started high school. Their job changed. There are a lot of things that I know consume you. But my question is, through all of that, how are you at the feet of Jesus? In what ways are you literally just sitting at the feet of Jesus? Are you just stopping Shabbat, Sabbath? Are you taking just a rest and just being in the presence of Jesus? Mary could have been off doing some important things. She could have been helping Martha, and that would have been all fine and well, fine and great. But in that moment, she just knew that what she needed was to be in the presence of Jesus. You know, there's something great that my kids do that I love, and they probably feel like, well, I think you get aggravated with that, but actually deep down I do love it. But my kids love to be in the same room as us. We have a big old house, and for some reason we all tend to gather at the same place in the same room. But as I was unpacking this text, and as I thought about that, I thought about this picture of children who just love to be in the presence of their, because there's a safety there, there's a security there, there's all kind of things that are happening there, and it's just a beautiful thing. And I get this image of us. I hope that we as believers, knowing that our Heavenly Father loves us so much, I hope that we want nothing more than just to be curled up at the feet of Jesus in His presence. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We've already been in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God right now. But there's so many times that we can just run into church and run out. I know we got things to do, and some people got a race to get to here in a little bit, and we got all kind of things we got to do. But can we just stop and just sit in the presence of the Lord? I don't know if the disciples realized it or not. But on the night that our Lord was betrayed, they were so powerfully in the presence of the Lord. They were in the presence of they were at the feet of Jesus at this very moment where Jesus was preparing to go to the cross. This very moment where Jesus knew that everything was going to come together. Everything was going to come to a head there those next couple nights. And the disciples were there at the table, and they're there on the night that our Lord was betrayed. And we see that Jesus, He took the bread. He took the bread and He broke it. And He said, "This is my body broken for you." There in the presence of Jesus, the disciples were able to witness Jesus symbolically taking symbols of the faith, taking these symbols of bread and these symbols of wine, and to begin to show them that this is what I'm about to do for you. In the same way that I'm breaking this bread, that this is my body. And as I go to the cross, my body is going to be broken for you. And He takes that cup, and He holds that cup up, and He helps them to realize here in a few moments, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be taken, and I'm going to be tried. I'm going to be hung on a criminal's cross, and my blood is going to flow. My blood is going to shed for you. And can you imagine being in the presence of the Lord when all this is taking place? In the moment, I don't think they really realized what was happening. But today, we know what was happening. We know what did happen. And so as I read this text and I saw this scene of people being gathered around the table of physical food, but yet Jesus making the statement that, hey, listen, only one thing is needed. That's my presence. I couldn't help but think, what a better way to come and to be in the presence of the Lord than be at His table. There's certainly something mysterious about what happens when the people of God gather at the table of the Lord. If you're not a member of the Church of Nazarene, that's okay. We practice open communion, and you just simply need to be a believer. And so we invite you today to participate in the presence of the Lord that is symbolized here at this table. We also understand that this is a table of grace. There's no fences around this table. And so we understand that there's no better time for you to experience the salvation of God than just before you come to the table. Maybe this is your moment to experience this table as a table of grace. And because of the table of grace, our kids are with us in here this morning, and because of the table of grace, we also understand this to be a moment of God's prevenient grace, even though they may be a little bit young, to understand that we know that God's calling them. We know that God is working in their lives and bringing them to a to a decision if they haven't already made that decision already. So I'm going to ask our servers, they would, to come and to prepare. Philip's going to serve, and I'm going to ask Brandon to come, and he's going to serve. If you're on this side, you'll come to Philip. If you're on this side, you'll come to Brandon. You take the elements and hold them and take them back to your seats, and then we'll finish it there. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, we're just going to be in your presence. I'm thankful, Lord, for the presence that is indwelling in us. Lord, we know that we are your temple. We know that your presence is alive in us, for those of us who are believers. But Lord, we also know that we are experiencing this presence in a neat way as we come to the table. And so, Lord, we're thankful. We're thankful for that. And so, Lord, I pray that you have blessed this time together. Lord, as we come and we receive the elements, Lord, as we go back to our seats, as we hold them, may we spend time in prayer, in your presence, thinking about all that you have done for us. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can come now. Receive the elements and then return to your seats, and then we'll go from there. See these elements. Right there where you are, would you just pray and ask the Spirit to examine your heart, to reveal to you anything that may be out of line with the will of a loving God? And would you confess that to Him right now? church, this is the body of our Lord. It's broken for you. Would you take and let's eat together. The cup of atonement, the cup of our Lord and Savior, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sets the atonement for all the sins and the remission of sins for all the world. It's been shed for you, church. Let's take and drink together. We're going to spend some time just in the presence of the Lord. We're going to sing through some songs, and it could be that maybe you want to spend time down the altar. It could be that, man, life's just really crazy for you right now. And there's not a better option for you right now than to think about what it is to be at the feet of Jesus. To turn our eyes upon Him, to take our eyes off the things that are distracting us, and just to sit at the Master's feet. That's what we're going to do for the next few moments. You can stand, you can sit, you can come and pray at the altar. Just enjoy the presence of the Lord, and let's be at the feet of the Master as we sing for a little bit. get this image of being at the feet of Jesus right now. Get the image of being Mary. There's so much going on. There's so much commotion in that room. But Mary, she's just at the feet of Jesus, taking it all in. This powerful name of Jesus, I would invite us to push all that away and just to realize that we are in the presence of the Master. We have indeed been in your presence. And Lord, we're so thankful for that. Lord, as a church, there's nothing more important. Lord, there's no ministry that's going to do anything without your presence. Lord, anything that we do without your presence, anything we do without first wrapping it around your presence is just a bunch of business stuff. So Lord, we fall upon our knees, and Lord, we ask you to forgive us in those moments where we first thought about getting busy, and then we think about how this might be missional, or then we think about how you would want us to do, how you would have us to go. Forgive us in those moments when we get ahead of ourselves. Forgive us those moments where we get like Martha sometimes, and it's all good things, but we tend to put all of our focus on the peripheral. And we forget that at the center is your presence. So, Lord, in these moments where we've been around the table, we've just taken in all that's happened. Lord, we pray that you have used this time. You will use this time. I know that you have. Lord, to stir hearts, to change hearts, to remind us, Lord, of who you are. Lord, everything that we need comes from your word. And Lord, just in the same way that you breathe that life into the nefesh, Lord, and you breathe that life into the nostrils of humanity, Lord, we know that today you are still breathing your life. You are still breathing your spirit into us. And Lord, today we come to you just asking for a fresh sense, a fresh wind, a fresh fire, Lord, to come upon us. Thankful for who you are. Lord, I pray for those who are here and those who couldn't be here. Lord, you know those who are facing certain things. Pray that you would just continue to be with those in those situations. Lord, we love you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said together, amen, amen. Hey, church, would you go in grace, go in peace. You're dismissed. Have a great day.
Visiting CandonFirstChurch.org.